Well, good morning, everyone. Great to be back with you all again. I can't remember, it was a couple months ago, I think, was the last time that I was with you. And so I appreciate Stephen inviting me to come back with you, to be with you today. Hopefully everybody's had a wonderful time with family and Christmas. And I was watching, I'm friends with several of you on Facebook and other folks around, and I was looking at some of the postings on Facebook of what some people got for Christmas and presents and time with family, and I saw a lot of pajamas. What is the deal with pajamas nowadays? You know, like do we actually go outside? Yes, actually we do. I saw a lady in Walmart yesterday in her pajamas, so she must have been celebrating that she could actually go back out to the store when they were closed down on Christmas Day. But saw some of your posting, saw some folks that got some Pelotons. So those are still going on, some Nordic things. I got a new exercise piece of equipment, and it was, I don't know what they're trying to tell me by getting it for me, but anyways, it's one of these things. In fact, Kelly would probably be able to tell me and perfect it, but it's the motion to, you know, it's like the, what do they call it, like the, it's kind of like the rowing machine, only these are to develop the back muscles and all so that you can more easily push yourself away from the table, you know, whenever it's time and whenever the clothes are getting a little bit tighter. So, I'll have to get that out of the box someday here pretty soon. But anyways, it is good to be with you. And we're in that kind of that in-between time. You know, we're closing out 1 year. We're not quite to the first of the year to welcome in the new year, 2021. But I hear an overwhelming sentiment that a lot of people are going to be glad to see 2020 go into the history time, you know, into the days of history and into the pages of history. What a year. I mean, just think about it. This time last year, this very day or this very time last year, we had no idea what was coming and what we would be going through and what we'd be enduring. And it's not over yet, even though we're more than happy. We're excited about welcoming in 2021. But we know that really our calendars, you know, it's kind of funny because I was looking at a bunch of calendars that were still in the store for 2020, and they're selling them for 50% off now, you know, trying to get rid of those 2020 calendars because they're useless. You know, we use those to mark time, to mark our time. There's all kinds of calendars in the world, by the way. There's the Chinese calendar, which I don't know what this means, but supposedly 2021 is supposed to be the year of the rat, so I don't know what that means or how we should apply that. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing or whatever, but you got the Chinese calendar, you got the Islamic calendar, we're on the Gregorian calendar. Before that was the Julian calendar, there's the Hebrew calendar, there's all kinds of calendars. The Mayan calendar, apparently, aren't we out of time? Aren't we supposedly out of time according to the Mayans? And God must get so confused by all these calendars trying to keep everything straight to be able to work things in and times and epochs the way we can comprehend them and the way we can appreciate them, right? No, he's not confused. He's the maker of time. He operates in eternity. But we mark time and we mark by our calendars. And this is a new day. And this, so therefore, when New Year's comes around, that means now all of the bad things, finally we get those behind us, and it's only going to be new things and good things moving ahead, right? How is it that we should approach the closing of 1 year and the beginning of another year? I would submit to you this morning that we should approach it just like we do every other day of our lives as believers, as Christians. Scripture tells us that this is the day, what? That the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's not just those days on Wednesdays and Sundays according to our calendars. No, this is the day that the Lord has made. Every day is created by him and for us to be able to live in him. And by the power of his spirit. Now, I want you to take your Bibles. I want to read two passages of scripture. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 3 here in just a minute. But I want us to look at two passages, one in Philippians chapter 3 and then one in James that I want us to use kind of as a backdrop, if you will, of what we're going to look at today and as we approach a new year and we approach every day of life. So it's in James chapter 4. And In verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist in what appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills." Now, that's not supposed to be, we shouldn't take that as a downer verse. We shouldn't take that as like, well, that's kind of depressing. No. Because he ends on the right perspective. If the Lord wills, because who ultimately is in charge of our lives? God. Who's in charge of this world ultimately? God. It may seem like it's out of control when we watch the news and we spend too much time watching the news and we can get depressed. But no, just because James says, look, you say, oh, we'll just go there and we'll make a profit. Well, everything will be just hunky-dory. You know, we make these plans. What does the expression say? The best laid plans of man. I don't know about you, but I know what it's like in my life, and I've had experiences where I had things planned out and nothing turned out the way it was supposed to, in my mind. Now, what is the only thing that then keeps me from spinning off into space and depression when that doesn't happen? The presence of the Lord. Realizing if the Lord wills, as James says. So, we shouldn't take that verse and get all depressed about it, but he's putting in perspective, said, look, when you go off and you start making all these plans for yourself, just hold on to them with a loose grip. Don't hold too tightly. Because if you hold too tightly and things don't work out just like you want, then it crushes you and it can crush your spirit. But if you hold on loosely, still moving forward, then all will go well if you're trusting in the Lord. Now, let's go back to Philippians chapter 3, and I just want to jump ahead, read this. We're not going to use this as our primary verse today or passage today, but look at what Paul says. So he has found this tension, if you will. And he says in verse 12 of chapter 3, "Not that I've already obtained it or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do," what? "Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." So that's the Apostle Paul, and I think he had the right perspective. He said, you know what? God reserves the right at any moment to step into my world, into my reality, and change things up, and then change it in ways that I had never anticipated or didn't expect. But still, I don't have a sense of fatalism. I don't just give up. I just don't say, well, then if God's going to just do what he's going to do anyway, I might as well just sit here. I better not make any plans. I better not look to the future one way or another. No, Paul says, look, no. He says, in fact, I forget what lies behind. I learn from the past, but I don't live in the past. Learn from the past, but don't live in the past. But then I move forward. And what does he say? He's doing it with great gusto. The images of a runner in a sprint, in a race, and literally straining forward. When he says, I lean forward, I press on, like leaning for that tape to take first place. Straining. You've watched those runners before when they're running down. And those last few steps, they're straining with everything they can to finish, to cross the finish line. So Paul says, look, I understand who controls my life. I understand I don't make these grandiose plans, and if they don't turn out, then it crushes my world. But still, I don't stay where I am, and I press on. I learn from the past, but don't live in it, and I press on. Why? Because there is a great, great thing that awaits us. The presence of Jesus. Now, so I was going through and I think, okay, what kind of a message? Where do we go then for this message of where we're kind of in this in-between spot? It'll be the same thing basically on the third as well, because then we'll be in the new year, but basically the same principles apply. Where do I go? Where do we go for this text and all? And then lo and behold, I'm feeling led to Philippians. I'm like, man, I have talked so many times out of Philippians. I got to find something that someone hasn't seen before. I got to find some nugget that they'll go, whoa, I've never seen that before. And I couldn't find anything. I just kept being brought back to the basics, just the basics. And so you know what? I just want to share the basics with you as we head into a new year and we think and we make those plans for those days ahead. It's just basic. It's not, I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. It's not going to overwhelm you. In fact, it's very, very possible that we leave here today, you go, yeah, I've heard all that before. But you know what? I'm not discouraged, and I feel like I'm in good company. Because you know what? As it says in verse 1, Paul said in verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me and is safe for you. You know, he talked about joy or rejoicing some 16 times in this one epistle in Philippians. In fact, he goes on and says it again in chapter 4, verse 4. Look what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You can almost imagine that whenever he's writing that letter and they're reading the epistle, and when he's talking, he says, yeah, I get it. Rejoice, rejoice. Yeah, you keep bringing it up. Yeah, and you know what? It's good for you. It's good for us to be reminded of the simple things, of the basics of our faith. Understanding that we hold on to our plans with loose grips because God reserves the right to change plans in the last minute and may not be what we expected, but yet we press on. We don't live in the past. We learn from the past, and we press on. And how do we approach it? Just like we should approach every single day. What is the first thing? Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoicing in the Lord every day, not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, not just when you feel good, but finding something in every day to rejoice in the Lord. And listen, folks, if we're really honest as believers, as Christians, we have much to rejoice in. The very fact that we have a promise that whatever we might endure in this life, no matter how much pain we may endure in this life, this is temporary. Presence with him is eternal, forever. That alone, in and of itself, is reason to rejoice. The fact that the Creator, the God of the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence with a word. He didn't have to use his hands. He just spoke it into existence. And this is the world that we live in. And he keeps it in perfect unity and perfect coordination, if you will, perfect logistics. That God, the only true God, has reached out to you and to me, and then in still small voice said, come to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Rejoice! That God has reached out to you. That God has reached out to me. That God has made it possible through Jesus to have a relationship with him. Paul says, look, I'm going to just keep on saying it. You might get sick of hearing me say it, but I'm going to keep saying it. Rejoice. In fact, in the language in the Greek is to keep on rejoicing. It has this rejoice, like it might be as a static one-time thing. No. The word is keep on rejoicing. Keep on rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Be thankful. Now, what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when he said, be thankful in all things. Notice, you got to read the words. He said, be thankful in all things, not thankful for all things. Can you think of some things in your life that you're really not thankful for? I can. I've already talked to the Lord about it. I'm not thankful for everything that's happened in my life. But in the midst of things that maybe were undesirable in my life, I've been able to be thankful in those things. and thankful for the things that God has brought about in the midst of that. God causes all things, what? To work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, Romans 12. So be thankful in all things, but it doesn't mean you have to be thankful for all things. Don't be fake. Don't be fake. Don't go around and say, you know, you fall and you break your leg. Oh, I thank Jesus that I just broke. No, you don't thank God for that. You just got to watch where you're walking, you know. But Lord, I thank you that it wasn't a whole lot worse. I'm thankful in all things, but not thankful for all things. Could have been a whole lot worse. Could have been a compound fracture. Ooh, those are ugly. But anyways, rejoice in the Lord every day. Secondly, do not put confidence in the flesh. Do not put confidence in the flesh. Let's read on here. In verse 2, he says, look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. He's talking about the Judaizers here, the ones that put all this emphasis on circumcision and observing the law and being righteous through works. And he said, watch out. And boy, he doesn't mince any words, does he? He says, look out for the dogs. Watch out for the dogs. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. Glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. And then Paul goes on in those following verses to talk about that if there was anybody that walked the planet that could put a lot of confidence in his flesh, it was Paul. Because of what he had achieved and what he had acquired. But he said, I don't put confidence in the flesh. And we don't need to put confidence in the flesh. See, as you begin a new year, don't make promises to God. God knows you too well. We don't make promises. See, when we make promises to God, that's putting confidence in the flesh. No, we put our confidence in him. We understand what Jesus, when he said that I am the vine and you are the branches, he who abides in me bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, sometimes we've mistaken the Philippians 4:13 where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength to accomplish the things that Christ wants to accomplish in us. It would be no good for me to keep quoting that verse when I was in high school thinking I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. Oh, I'm going to make it to the major leagues. Why? Because I can do all things. I could quote that all day long, but the talent was not going to match up with the dream. But what God wants to accomplish, and in walking with him, I can do all things through Christ, not my own flesh, not my own ability. In Romans chapter 2, he said that a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart. It's not just on the outside. In Galatians 3:7, we're reminded, know that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Because it was that Abraham believed and what? It was reckoned unto him as righteousness. So it's those who walk in faith that are the true descendants of Abraham. You probably heard the story about the guy that was golfing. He wanted to go out by himself. He wanted to practice, have a few rounds and all. And he was having a pretty decent round. And so he was out there on the golf, and he was coming up to a three par, and you had to drive the green, you had to carry the water. And so he's looking at it. So far, he hadn't lost any golf balls. He's doing pretty good. You know, he's scoring pretty well. So he looks at that hole, and he takes a look at it. And so he goes over, he puts his ball back in his pocket. He goes over to his bag, and he pulls out an old ball. And he comes and puts the old ball on the tee. And he's about to get up there and address the ball, and all of a sudden he heard a voice from heaven. And the voice said, use the new ball. He thought a friend was playing a joke on him or something, so he looks around, he heard it again. Go ahead, use the new ball. And so anyways, he goes over to his bag, he pulls out a sleeve of balls, he takes off the wrapper, takes out a brand new ball, puts it on the tee, he's looking over there and looking around, and then he hears the voice, take a practice swing. So he takes a practice swing. Take another practice swing. So he takes another practice swing. Then there's a pause, and then it says, go ahead, use the old ball. See, God doesn't put confidence in us either. You remember what happened with Peter in Mark 14? Jesus was talking to him, and Peter comes up to me, and he's boasting, and he's saying, look, even if all these others leave you, I'll not leave you. In fact, if it requires that I die for you, I will not deny you. And then Jesus gave these sobering words, which must have been like a dagger in Peter's heart. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. That's literally in a matter of hours. In a matter of hours. It's one thing if you are braggadocious and you make these claims to God, and this is going to be months on down the road. But Peter says something to Jesus, I'll never leave you. If it requires my life, I'm so committed to you, I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, it's going to be a matter of hours, and you're not going to just do it once, you're going to do it three times. See, God never asks us to put confidence in the flesh. Our confidence is in Him and Him alone. So we don't hold on to our plans with too tight of a grip, but just with a loose grip. Doesn't mean we don't plan and make plans. Even Jesus said, you know, whenever He said, what man builds a tower unless he first considers the cost? So Jesus was into planning. He wasn't saying, oh, no, you do everything. You just simply go on the whim of the moment. No, no, no. You make plans, but you hold on to it with a loose grip, understanding that if the Lord wills, we do such and such. And in the meantime, what I do is I forget the things in the past. I learn from the past, don't live in it, and I press on. And as I'm pressing on, how do I approach every single day of my life in Jesus? First, rejoicing. Rejoicing. Secondly, putting no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in my being able to obey and to fulfill my promises to God. I don't make promises. Even Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't swear by the gold of the temple. Don't swear by the temple. Don't swear by anything else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. You trust the Lord. Put no confidence in the flesh. And thirdly, cherish knowing Jesus above anything else. Cherish knowing Jesus above anything else. What did Paul say? Skip down to verse 8 in chapter 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul was pretty simple with what his priorities were. He said, everything that I've ever accomplished in my past, everything that I might accomplish in the future, everything is at the foot of the cross, and that which I've accomplished out of human effort and out of the flesh, it's all rubbish. I don't live with some reputation that I accomplished, and the fact that I studied under a premier Jewish teacher, that means nothing to me. And I don't remember, and forgive me if I repeated this, if I said this last time, I don't know, but one of the things a few months ago, I was going back and considering what Paul said about whenever he said that he had a thorn in the flesh and that he prayed three times. Now, we don't know exactly what that is, and different scholars have different opinions of what it might have been. Maybe been his eyesight, maybe been that he had a broken body because he was, you know, beaten so many times and imprisoned and so mistreated in so many ways. We don't really know what it is. But I got to thinking about this one time, and I'm thinking, you know, imagine what the Apostle Paul had done in his previous life. Whenever he was so committed to serving God, he was so adamant about serving God, he was thinking that he was doing God's work when he was persecuting the church. And if you read what Paul did, that whenever he had letters in hand, he had the permission of the Sanhedrin, he would go to different towns and he would find those who were following Jesus. He would find people in the way or the church, and he would drag them off, men and women, and he would carry them off to prison. And he even said to himself, and some of them died in prison. Well, when you're carrying off moms and dads off to prison, who else does it affect? The children. Paul, literally from his actions, thinking he was serving God, misdirected religious intensity, thinking he was serving God, he literally devastated countless of families. So when Paul says, I forget what lies behind, what was it like for Paul? Because, you know, sometimes those old tapes of our past play. What was it like for Paul every time when he laid his head down on the pillow at night and those old tapes of that, when he would begin to think about how many lives he had destroyed and could not do anything about it and could not go make anything right? But he had to give that to the Lord. He had to give that to Jesus. And from then on, what he had to do and to focus on was cherishing his love for Jesus, because Jesus had forgiven him and cleansed him, and he would use him for his glory, and one day he would see him face to face. If ever there was Paul even referred to himself as the greatest of sinners. Someone so undeserving, and yet he had been given this wonderful, amazing gift by Jesus. Someone so undeserving. Guess what? We may not have ever drugged off men and women to prison. We may never have destroyed any families. But all of us have offended a holy God. Every one of us. Every one of us. Every one of us have offended a holy God. Every one of us are deserving of his wrath. But his grace and mercy is priceless. And he asks us to do one thing. Don't go make amends for what you've done in the past, because you can't go redo anything. But believe. Believe. That the sacrifice on the cross is what paid the price for your sins. So we cherish knowing Jesus above anything else, because that's the one relationship that is going to last for eternity. And we'll see him face to face. Pursue him every day and in every way. Read about him. Study about him, read his word, sing about him, sing to him, talk about him, and constantly pursue and cherish that love relationship with Jesus every day. So when the first gets here, great. Friday morning, 12:01, we'll welcome in a new year and we'll say, whoo! 2021 is here. But I say, don't wait until then. Start now. Because it's every day. To rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice every day. Put no confidence in your flesh. And cherish your love relationship with Jesus. Cherish knowing Jesus above anything else. And if you don't know Jesus, it's amazingly simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's not easy in the sense that you have to be able to deny yourself and admit that you can't be good enough to go to heaven. You have to deny and admit that you can't be good enough to save yourself. You have to admit that, yes, my sin has offended a holy God. But Jesus gave his life on the cross for you, for me, and to be able to say, Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, Romans 10, and you shall be saved. Yeah, it's not easy, because it requires you to come face to face with your selfishness, but it's simple. It's simple. To simply believe on Jesus. At the end of the service, you can go to that room right back there. Many of you already know where it is, the room back there. Some folks would love to be able to pray with you and talk with you, talk about life's most important decision. Maybe you just need to pray with someone and come in there, and someone would count it joy to come alongside you and pray with you. Pray for you, whatever you might want to pray with them about, whatever need it is. The most important thing is that don't leave here today. And all this goes for all of us, as we've been challenged by God's word, not Scott Rodney, but challenged by his word, that Lord Jesus, I'm reminded again, Scott didn't tell me anything new. He just simply pointed to the scripture, and it reminds me again that I may rejoice in you every day. That I'll put no confidence in my ability to please you and to make you happy and to obey you. And every day I will cherish above anything else in this world my knowing you as my Lord and Savior. So our prayer is that none of us leave here today the same way we were when we came in. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for loving us and for giving everything for us. We have nothing to bring to you except ourselves. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help those today who maybe need to begin that precious relationship with you. That, Lord, you will help those who have known you for some time to continue to walk in freshness and in the joy of our salvation, rejoicing in you, putting no confidence in the flesh, and cherishing our relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, prepare our hearts to continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and continue to worship.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.